Social media did not exist. Tom Brady predates Friendster, let
Wow.
alone MySpace, let alone Facebook, let alone Instagram, let alone TikTok. And he announced his retirement on social media. Something
this
feels
is
wrong
some
about
of those
that.
Posts.
Like he should have.
Yeah, it didn't exist. It didn't exist when he started playing, right?
It's like that sad Bengals fact that doesn't exist anymore, which was really always fun to bring back, that no one had ever texted anyone about a Bengals playoff win because text didn't exist the last time they had one. And now we don't get to.
So sad.
And I know we're talking about a subject that sort of makes you distrust sources or what have you, but I just tweeted out 30 seconds ago that we're starting at 12:35 because I heard that in my ear, and now here it is, 12:32, and we're starting. So the most obvious of sources you can never trust.
Should we put all the good stuff now so that anyone who shows up in 4 minutes misses the best of the show?
Yeah. Well, if they're listening to my tweets, they're not doing very good in life. I'm Izzy Gutierrez, Bill Barnwell, Sarah Spain. We started off talking about Tom Brady because officially, he retired. I guess technically, if you just read his Instagram post, he retired from the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, and that is all. But he is officially retired. It feels like, you know, like everybody was guessing after the reports came out from Darlington and Schefter that he was sort of upset that he didn't let it happen on his own terms. And now it's the slow burn of having it let out on his own terms. It feels like there's more to come. I'm telling you, man, little Alabaster over there never listens when I actually introduce us.
Yeah, he actually did.
Done so.
He did introduce us. Bill waved. I smiled.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. See. Mm-hmm. Anyway. Bill, what do you think of Tom Brady? The way it's happening, is it just as transparent as it seems? Like he got beat to the news?
Yeah, I mean, it seems pretty obvious that's the case. Oh, sorry, we did not let Alabaster introduce the trending topic to start the show.
Oh, that's right. That was a part.
Straight in.
Sorry.
Straight in. Alabaster being basically removed from the show as we go along. He's going to be less relevant
to penalty for not listening.
Segment,
I've got one job. Literally one job. Can I do it anyway? Can I do it?
Yes,
yeah,
do it.
For it.
Let's go. All right, what do you read into Tom Brady not mentioning the Patriots, Bob Kraft, or Bill Belichick in his retirement post?
Okay. So we have all been on Instagram before, and we have all stalked our exes. Is that fair to say? Everyone here, everyone watching the show has been through that.
Yes. Yeah.
This feels very pointed to me because it feels like the thing you would do if you wanted to maybe let your ex know. Just a little quick reminder that, yeah, sure, I mentioned you when I left in 2019. But, like, yes, Tom Brady's not going to leave, like, 10 pages of positive comments about the Patriots in this post. But he could have left a line. He could have left two lines saying, hey, you know, Kraft family, Bill Belichick, I appreciate what you guys did earlier in my career. See my previous tweets if you want to find out more about that. I think it's very deliberate and very pointed that after days of thinking about what he was going to say, Tom Brady did not say any of those things.
Yeah, it wasn't a quick statement. We had to swipe, I believe, 9 times.
Yes.
He thanked every staff member in Tampa Bay, and rightfully so. It was really nice of him to mention all the hard work that goes into putting a team together down to the last person. I don't know if this is Tom Petty. I don't know what the end goal of this is, but it's noteworthy when you make a statement about the end of your career and not just the end of your time with the Bucks that you leave all those people out. It would have been very easy to put one sentence that said, I said my thank yous and goodbyes to New England when I left there, and I'm so grateful for my time. Or, so much to say about my multiple decades in New England, that will come. Any mention that there's more to say, because a lot of people, he already said it. Okay, but that wasn't when he retired. That was when he left the team. Or he's going to say it. He's going to sign a one-day contract, and then he's going to retire a Patriot, and then his Hall of Fame speech. Okay, well, then let us know that that's coming. Because otherwise, you get what you have right now, which is a lot of salty Boston people who are feeling very hurt, and it feels very intentional. Keep in mind also that in that statement that he made 2 years ago, he also did not mention Belichick and Kraft by name.
I think Tom's pretty bummed. I think he's bummed that somebody leaked this, that I think, you know, while he was still sort of finalizing the details, that he had decided he had retired or was going to retire and was working out something very extensive, you know, in terms of his release. Like, I never would have expected just notes on Instagram to be his retirement format in any context, regardless of what he says on those nine pages. This is a guy who makes hype videos for playoff games. This is a guy who did a 10-part documentary series while he's still playing. And so there's definitely more there. And he's also a guy who loves to be have things in his control. And this is not in his control, which is why he waited the weekend to drop this, even though he could have done this on Saturday. And the idea of ticking off a bunch of Patriots fans, because mind you, his issue is never with Patriots fans. It's never with supporters of the team. He's not out there saying F Boston and all this other stuff. And so that, if it's riling them up now, he's just sort of taking control again of this situation and say, hey, if everybody wants to talk smack about me because they didn't do this, how about they just be patient and wait for me to announce what I'm going to announce? Wait for me to put out my 3-part documentary series just thanking the fans of Boston and thanking the Patriots organization. So, yeah, in the end, this is just a guy who didn't have control of what he wanted to have control in, and now he's just letting it out sort of piece by piece and giving us rats, you know, something to talk about. You know?
I agree, Izzy, but what's fascinating to me, and I guess this shouldn't be a surprise, because this was finally the year where I adopted into my hard and fast sports rules not to pick against Tom Brady, regardless of age, and of course he lost. I finally bought in. The only inevitability in football in the last two decades is really Tom Brady, and at every turn I was still surprised when he made it happen. But what's shocking to me is, okay, Ninkovich comes out maybe 2 weeks ago before the Bucks had even lost, and he says, I think he's going to retire. And we did a whole segment on Spain and Fitz about how moronic that was, which, by the way, sorry, Nink. I guess maybe the guy who played with him and won two Super Bowls with him might have known a little bit more than two, you know, jerk off gas bag radio hosts. But at the time, I was like, why? Why would you leave now? There's so many injuries on your team. There's so many talent gaps that have come because of AB leaving or people being hurt or whatever, that you have a built-in excuse for why this season doesn't go the way you want. But you personally just set a career high in yards. You had 43 touchdowns and 12 picks. You are excelling in a way that's still getting better. And he just didn't seem to me like a guy who would want to leave when he'd have to wonder what he had left and if he could have won more. Not because he needs it, not because his legacy needs it, because that just felt like the kind of guy that he was. Still healthy, still killing it, didn't think he would leave. So that's 2 weeks ago. Then this happens with Schefter and Darlington. And then I'm like, well, he's not going to leave now. He's going to wait at least till February 4th because of that $15 million. Even if you're Tom Brady, you don't just give back $15 million for no reason. And then he goes on radio last night and he says, I still haven't made up my mind. And I'm like, yeah, this all checks out. Now, he wants to make his own statement. He wants to be in control, but he's going to do it once he gets the money, and he's going to do a big, huge thing in like 2 weeks. And then the IG comes out today, and I'm just continue to be surprised and shocked. None of this has gone the way that I expected.
Well, a lot of that is sort of what made me wonder if, hey, maybe he will just come back to tick off, you know, Schefter and Darlington or anybody
season.
Who reported it.
Because it'll be a spite store.
Yeah. It's almost like the Barry Bonds, even though Barry Bonds was sort of blacklisted from baseball. But you look at his last year and you're just like, man, that guy could have definitely still played. You look at Tom Brady's last year and be like, yeah, that guy definitely could have still played. So how much longer do you think he could have still played if he said, you know what, you know, forget everybody else. I'm going to maybe play another year just despite them.
Yeah, I mean, this is a guy who, you know, has seen his peers have that season where they looked like a mess. Peyton Manning was, even though he won a Super Bowl this last year, was bad. He was not his old self. He was benched for Brock Osweiler, the ultimate insult for any NFL quarterback. Drew Brees last year in the postseason could barely throw the football downfield. Ben Roethlisberger was basically the Hulk behind that offensive line this year and could not throw the football downfield. Like, Tom Brady, even though Tom Brady has been basically visibly to the public, Tom Brady for 20 years now, like, that day would have come for Tom Brady, whether it would have been next year, whether it would have been 3 or 4 years from now. I think it's tough to say. And I think, number one, Tom Brady is going to be the best judge of that as opposed to us on the outside. And maybe Tom Brady retiring now tells us that he felt like that day was coming for him sooner rather than later. And number two, this is a Bucs team that has major questions even before Tom Brady retires. Chris Godwin's a free agent. Rob Gronkowski's future is uncertain. Leonard Fournette is a free agent. Antonio Brown did the Antonio Brown thing and left the team. Like, the roster the Bucs have right now is not the roster they're going to have in 2022. Right. And so for Tom Brady, this might have been, let me get off the ship, the pirate ship, I suppose, before I look bad with the players around me.
That totally makes sense, Bill. I agree. I just wonder, you know, did he have enough time to talk to the team and the teammates and say, do we want to try to run this back? Are some of you willing to come back on a 1-year deal if I'm still around, knowing that we actually had a team that could have won it again this year, if not for some injuries to the offensive line, injuries to the weapons. Like, I know that that's a lot, but this is a guy who also, you know, has had off-season surgeries to be able to come back, went to a Bucks team that did seem very promising, but had zero culture of winning and no expectation and won in the first season. So it doesn't seem like it would be a reach for him to try to say who wants to come on this, or other players that are free agents that want that 1 year with Tom Brady and with the chance to win, that are willing to sign for a little bit less. I think it's fascinating how little we actually know about what was going on in his mind, if this was the decision we made, because before this, all we heard was want to play till 50, you know, so much left to give. And then this felt very sudden.
Well, and this one too, I thought one of the notes on there that he, one of the things he mentioned on his notes was, you know, leaving this game to the, you know, the younger quarterbacks and the next generation of quarterbacks. And I just wonder how much this ending, not just for him, but for the entire NFL, where you look at the picture and you look at the quarterbacks and Stafford's on there and going to the Super Bowl, but he also has the best wide receiver in the game this year. Like, is it almost asking too much of him to say, man, I've got to somehow beat, you know, these NFC quarterbacks. I've got to look at the AFC and see Josh Allen coming for Patrick Mahomes, who's still, you know, in the beginning of his prime. Like, any of that just sort of said, oh, okay, it's not, even if I put in 100%, that doesn't guarantee me anything at this point, so I'm good.
I think the key words in that are dedicated and committed, more so than athletes or next generation. I think it's less about not believing that he can keep up with the Burrows and Herberts and Mahomes, as it is that we joke about his dedication and the eating avocado ice cream and not having nightshades. Probably doesn't eat lampshades either. I don't think that would be good for him. But we joke about all that stuff and forget that day in and day out for 22 years to do, maybe not early on, I don't know if he was quite as diligent, but for 20 years or whatever, to day in and day out have to have that kind of dedication in order to do the things we've seen that were unfathomable. We tried to retire him for like 10 years at this point. I think that takes a toll that maybe we don't really think about. Any of us that have ever been on a diet will tell you that the idea of him having to be as strict as he's been for this long, I think what stands out to me is dedicated and committed. Like, he just wants to eat a damn strawberry and get hammered.
That's exactly what I wanted to ask you guys. So now Tom Brady retires and his career is done. He does not have to watch what he eats for at least a day or two. He'll get back on the Tom Brady diet just out of sheer habit in the days to come. Like, what do you think Tom Brady is eating today that he was not going to permit himself to eat a week ago or a month ago or a year ago?
I don't know, man. I think if he...
Go ahead, Izzy.
No, go ahead, by the way.
Yeah,
no, I was just going to say, I think if he looks at those videos, sorry, I'm just going to power through this. I think if he looks at those videos of him as a rookie morphing into the person that he is now, I think he's going to say, yeah, I don't want to go backward on that. Like, I've gotten somehow better looking over the course of two decades. Yeah. So let me just continue on that path.
I don't think that's the case. I think he knows he's got time to get back to, you know, or he can be just a regular super in shape 44-year-old now instead of needing to be an NFL quarterback shape. So I think, well, let's see, like, what was he least allowed to have? Apparently real ice cream, whatever is the best dish involving all of the nightshades. You know, because I don't know, I think he did say every once in a while he could have beer, he could have like a burger, but you know, you got to find all the inflammations. Dairy,
Chipotle, chicken, gluten. Philly at Jersey Mike's would be my first choice.
I would go with that.
Like him for so long.
Like a Penang curry, like a spicy Penang curry that's probably inflammatory, has dairy, has other, like, that's what I would do.
Or is there another quarterback? Is there another quarterback that you could see even coming close to mirroring? What, not saying seven Super Bowls necessarily, I'm just saying trying for that long and having that much success. Like, you think of the style of quarterback, and you got to think of somebody where the athleticism isn't really that important, at least not to his success. Like, I think of Joe Burrow, and I think, hey, maybe if he decides he wants to be this dedicated for that long, he could be. But, I mean, the list is really short.
Yeah, I mean, this is a guy who, by the way, like, Tom Brady, at this point of his career where Joe Burrow is now, had won a Super Bowl. Yes, he won a Super Bowl in his second season, but didn't have that serious injury. And over the course of his career, did suffer a torn ACL, but that was 6 or 7 years down the line later on in his career. So, like, the guys like the Mahomeses, the Burrows, the Allens, the guys who are in the very first few years of their career, like, they're so far away from Tom Brady being the Tom Brady we knew by the end of the year, because Tom Brady didn't take that leap until six right. or 7 years in, where he had that 2007 season, where he just, you know, went from being the guy who was, you know, a winner but had okay numbers to being the guy who won and had the crazy numbers on top of that. So we're so far away from even considering what a Brady might look like later on.
No, we know. We know, guys. The answer is clear. It's Mac Jones.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
It's Mac Jones.
It's in right
That's
there.
The
Sometimes
play.
The most obvious
That's
answer
the
is
system.
The correct answer.
He's already, you know, he's already doing really well, even in a first mm-hmm. year when he wasn't expected to.
Sure.
It's Mac Jones.
Is Alex Guerrero moving back to Boston? Again. Is that what's happening?
Yeah, he's got a lot of
that
free
happens,
time. Yeah, he's got a lot of free time.
Yeah, they're going to cross out the TB12 and just put MJ12.
Yeah.
Charlie, I will allow you time on the program now to interrupt and move on to the next subject.
All right, moving on. We got more NFL conjecture. And our question here is about Jim Harbaugh.
My favorite.
And it's worth noting off the top here. Apparently, National Signing Day is not what it used to be. And the early signing period in December is just as important. But still, what does it tell you that Jim Harbaugh is interviewing with the Vikings on National Signing Day?
Well, he interviewed them with them via Zoom, right? And he's going again on Wednesday in person. And so there's a couple of things about that. Is one, I think, if Michigan didn't want this to happen, if he didn't want him to have a wandering eye, or more so just stick it to you in ways like this, then maybe you shouldn't have cut his salary last year. Maybe you shouldn't have lost faith in him so that he can sort of, again, get that wandering eye and try to go elsewhere. But when I look at the entire thing, yes, I do think that Jim Harbaugh's time in Michigan's up. I think it seems like he's giving all the signals, obviously. And I think the signing day is probably more of a coincidence, but with Jim Harbaugh, you never really know. You know, going to the Vikings kind of opens the door for his, you know, Michigan buddy Stephen Ross in Miami to chase him down too, because Stephen Ross said earlier, hey, I'm not going to be the guy responsible for pulling him away from Michigan. Well, if he's not the guy responsible for it, he can still benefit from it. So I think it ends up being between Minnesota and Miami, and, you know, Michigan's going to be pretty sad because it's not the easiest place to win. They haven't really won championships there, very many, and he had done his best and still only made it to the semifinals. So, yeah, I think we're seeing it for Jim Harbaugh.
I mean, Jim Harbaugh was making about $8 million a year. And like, as he said, last year before the 2021 season, took a pay cut to $4 million a year. There's some incentives built into the deal. I'm sure he saw more than $4 million or so. But we're in a college coach market now where Mel Tucker, who did beat Jim Harbaugh in Michigan this year, is making $9.5 million a year. Brian Kelly, who is not only making $9.5 million a year to coach, but also post really weird videos with recruits on Twitter and Instagram,
so
where they appear to be stuck in a room together for some reason, is making $9.5 million a year. Lincoln Riley, rumored to be north of $10 million per season. Jim Harbaugh, making $4 million a year, went from being like a bit of an affront to like an actual insult to Jim Harbaugh. And I know he's going to say, it's all money, whatever. That matters. Like, coaches have pride. Jim Harbaugh knows he has an NFL caliber resume. And to me, it feels like this is either you go all in, you make up for your mistake, and you pay me like I'm one of the best coaches in college football again, or I'm going to leave these other opportunities, which I think are legitimate. I mean, I think the Vikings would benefit from Jim Harbaugh as a coach. I think the Dolphins would usually benefit from Jim Harbaugh as coach. And to Izzy's point, now by having the Vikings involved, suddenly Stephen Ross can kind of take a step back and say, oh, well, you know, I didn't make him come. It was either going to be us or the Vikings. Like, that's the freedom now to pursue him the way he wants to pursue Jim Harbaugh.
Yeah, I don't think this is about the pay cut, for me at least. And that's because the grip that he had on that job at Michigan was tenuous at best. There were so many people that for several years at that point had argued that he had run his course there. Breaking news. Go ahead. Interrupt my very cogent Harbaugh thoughts.
Wow, this is a new one.
Sorry, we have a bit of breaking news. Tom Brady has thanked Patriot Nation on Twitter. His tweet says, thank you, Patriot Nation. I'm beyond grateful. Love you all.
Yikes.
Wow.
Yikes.
Patriot Nation,
yikes.
I'm beyond grateful. Love
that's
you all.
Like,
8 words.
That's like when you remind your husband at 5 p.m. that it's Valentine's Day, and about an hour later, he comes home from getting gas with flowers. Like, that is not somebody who he reacted to the fallout. Mm-hmm. After proactively making a choice, and then I think he regretted that choice and is now doing a little cleanup on aisle 3.
So yeah, ESPN had it on Saturday. That was Darlington and Schefter. And the eight words on Twitter, like, I don't know. I still feel like he's taking us for a ride. I think it's going to be a week-long engagement where we'll be talking about this particular Michigan man instead of Jim Harbaugh.
I agree, Izzy. But the problem is you can't go back and start over again. Yeah. You've put out that original statement that did not involve a single member of the team that you spent the majority of your career with and won most of your titles with. Now you have a hastily posted eight-word tweet that's supposed to make up for that. And whatever else you do from here on out is going to be nice. And if you're someone who wants to feel like there isn't any freeze between those two sides and there isn't any tension, you'll convince yourself that it's all made up for now. But it's not. Mm-hmm. It's awkward that this is how he decided to address it.
Mm-hmm. It's extremely awkward. And I mean, I could see a situation where he goes public and just was like, come on, Pats fans, did you really think I would? And then, you know, it's us against the world type of stuff. And he moves on because it's not like he's going to go the rest of his career saying, yeah, I'm a Buck. Like, oh, Bucks fans were with me from day one. It's always going to be the Patriots, and it's always going to be the Patriots fans. And they're not really, you know, there in your face. You're not picking a fight with a bunch of people who are just going to be tweeting mad about it and everything else. So I think, you know, it's almost as if, like I said, you know, the Bucks, they get this really long Instagram post, and the Patriots eventually are going to get every other form of media from me. Mm-hmm. At least the fans.
So, Sarah, I have one extra question here.
Yeah.
How would you have felt if MJ had only thanked the Wizards when he retired?
No, somebody put that in my timeline today, and I was like, this is that. Like, even if you thank the Bulls, even if you say everything you're supposed to when you end up with the Wizards, when you are done with your career, it needs to be recognized where you made your bones. Where you, is that a saying? Make your bones?
Make your bones.
Is that a saying?
No.
Where you, what am I looking for? What's
I don't know,
but
I had a whole conversation
for
recently about how women were made from a bone, and that was a very frustrating conversation.
Yeah,
but anyway, so
this
actually reminds me of my theory. let's get off that. This reminds me of my theory on why surprise parties are terrible if you're like in a relationship with somebody. Because you have to pretend up until the lights go off and everybody says surprise, you have to pretend you forgot that person's birthday or didn't do anything special for that person's birthday.
No,
so now the Pats fans are sitting
here
saying, we're waiting for our big surprise.
It has to be early. My husband threw me a surprise birthday a full month before my birthday because he knew that there was no
I thought you were saying like 8 a.m.
No.
8 a.m. would be a hell of a surprise.
Not early in the day. Early,
I don't know. I'm
like
thinking about that's the way to go
yet
now.
Expecting the festivities.
Yeah, 8 a.m. Everybody shows up in like bikini wear because you know you're going to be outside at some point. You wake up, surprise, and then you know, shocked
to be
that
fair,
you know all your friends are there
too.
And you're naked.
That's what he. No, not that part.
Really?
That's what he did too. It was a surprise party where he sent me off to brunch with the girls, and then they were like, "Let's go back and keep drinking at your place." And then I got there, and there was a huge party and a reggae band, and everybody was there.
Wow.
I over-imbibed. I got over-served. Not my fault. Mm-hmm. I went to bed. I woke up very hungover, Not my fault. Over-served. We were supposed to go to brunch with my sister the next morning. So I wake up and ask how long it takes to get where we're going. He's like, so you really think we're going to brunch, Sean? I'm like, what? And then it was another day of daytime party, surprise party of people.
Okay,
at my
house. Tom Brady never offered the first brunch.
Well,
so he is going the entire day. Sarah, go ahead and refresh
your
very.
I'm robot-y?
If that's really you.
A smidge.
Surprise.
I want to point out that Tom Brady, the reason I think this message is so short is that Tom Brady is tweeting this from the Cheesecake Factory, where he is re-exploring. He's having his first piece of bread in 18 years. And free bread at the Cheesecake Factory is tremendous.
He's
bread
got
in one hand,
a large,
he has his phone in the other hand.
Yes, he's working his way through the first
Sharpie
four pages of the menu.
Texting out all the calories that are on this menu so he doesn't actually have to see, so it won't hurt his heart.
Yes.
Yeah.
He has
a Chinese chicken salad there. So good.
Yeah. It's great. It's a great place. Let's not disparage the Cheesecake Factory here.
Never.
In talking about Tom Brady. I want Tom Brady to enjoy food now that he's retired, to be clear.
That's the most important thing in your life right now. So should we go back to Jim Harbaugh or should we not go back to Jim Harbaugh?
I mean, I had a quick thought on it. Okay. So I don't think it's about the money, and that's because I do think that Jim Harbaugh was very aware of the criticisms of his job at Michigan. And while I always defended that if you look at the folks who came before them, there was this idea of Michigan that didn't actually line up with the record that they had. He did an excellent mm-hmm. job and just was very disappointing when it came to facing Ohio State in some of the bigger games.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, I mean, and
it wasn't okay. an insult to him when they cut his salary. It was a realistic kind of nudge of like, hey, we're not just going to keep running this back if we don't see different results. When he did earn those incentives, he gave them to employees at Michigan whose salaries had been affected by furlough and other COVID-related cuts. So that was really impressive for them. I'm not saying that means it wasn't about the money, and I do think, of course, he wants the respect of Michigan after the season that he had. But to me, what's more interesting here is when we look at a situation like this, we try to figure out whether someone wants out on top. Because if he goes back to the disappointment at Michigan, he could have left when everybody felt great about his time there. Mm-hmm. So if he leaves for the NFL now, he leaves on a high note, or whether you question when someone leaves on top. Why are you leaving now? Mm-hmm. You're finally getting the respect you've been working toward. Things are finally going your way. And I think that's the kind of thing you try to figure out with Harbaugh now. Of course, he at any point could have gone back to the NFL with the record that he had there. It's just a matter like, why now? And is the Vikings the right choice? Or the Dolphins, for that matter, if Stephen Ross does swoop in? Because what we originally heard was Bears and Raiders. And then when those teams went other ways, and it didn't feel like that was panning out, are the Vikings and the Dolphins actually where he wants to be?
It feels like we're doing a show with Jane Doe, who just doesn't want her person, her face.
Can you not see me?
I can see you, but it's a bit
you're fine. I see you okay. I feel like Izzy's on that 56K modem, and that's why he's having trouble seeing you, Sarah. I want to play that. It's not about the money in itself. It's more about the power. And I think what the money sort of bestows and what it implies about how much power you have. Jim Harbaugh famously left the 49ers because he lost a power struggle with Trent Baalke, who it's been all great for Trent Baalke since then, from the best I can tell. Jim Harbaugh is at Michigan. And yes, like, I think having those struggles earlier on in his tenure probably eroded his power base a tiny bit, but this is a man who went there because he had a ton of leverage and a ton of power to run that program the way he wanted. Now, I look at these two jobs he's being rumored to go to. Miami might be one of the few places that hire Jim Harbaugh and give him carte blanche, give him personnel control, give him that full power. In Minnesota, there's Kwesi Adofo-Mensah, who just came over from the Browns, who worked with Jim Harbaugh briefly in San Francisco. Now, I don't know if Adofo-Mensah wants to have the full power of personnel there. I don't know if he's willing to hand off to Jim Harbaugh. I don't know how their relationship works, or if Jim Harbaugh thinks he can kind of control things there. But clearly, like, I don't think Jim Harbaugh is going to leave just for any NFL job. I think he doesn't want to be in a situation like the one he was in during the end of his time in San Francisco.
And Bill, do you think the Vikings is a good job? Because Kirk Cousins hanging over that team in terms of the amount of money he's owed and what we all believe is his limited ceiling, despite having good numbers, I don't know that that's the re-entry.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I feel like it's a very solid job, because I feel like you have sort of a win-win scenario, because Vikings fans, at least the Vikings fans I've talked to, are really sick of Kirk Cousins, who, like you said, is okay. He's not great. He's not terrible. But, like, there are some times where you take an NFL job and you might have to rebuild, and the fans are going to hate it. And it's going to take a couple of years, and you're not going to feel good about it. And maybe you lose your job over that two-year process. But for Vikings fans, if you keep Kirk Cousins, you're going to be competent. You're going to be better in late game decisions than Mike Zimmer. You're going to be pretty popular just by not being Mike Zimmer at that point. But if you rebuild, Vikings fans might be like, hey, great, we're sick of Kirk Cousins. Like, we're all in on this rebuild. Let's take 3 or 4 years and be a good football team down the line. So I feel like it's a good job from that perspective. They're limited with what they can do, but I feel like the fan base is already all in to go in and kind of start things over again.
Yeah, I think there's a couple of things that shockingly makes me think Miami's the better job. First, it is a salary cap situation. They're in a better position to make moves. And if you're going to give somebody that type of power, then you want to be in a position where you're not handcuffed. Then there's, you know, and I think, you know, Jim Harbaugh is the type, I think this is how it went for him. The idea of coaching Michigan to a potential national championship was a great story. I'm all in, going for it, my alma mater, whatever. Got there, recognized that he's more of a football chops guy. Like, that's what he wants to show off, not necessarily his recruiting and everything else. And so you go back to the NFL and you can show that off. But it's the danger of job security, et cetera. You got Stephen Ross, you're a Michigan guy. Like, he's going to give you as many chances as possible to fail or succeed or whatever you want to say. And so if you've got the better salary cap situation, you've got the better job security situation, definitely got the better weather situation, you probably go to Miami in that spot. And you're interviewing with the Vikings, so it doesn't look like Stephen Ross is pulling you away from Michigan.
Worst division, though. I mean, if you look at the Vikings, you've got the Lions always great to have in your division. You've got a Bears team that's starting fresh with a new GM and coach and hopefully has a future with Justin Fields, but yet to be seen when you put the right things around him. And then Green Bay that maybe minus Aaron Rodgers. We don't know yet. So you might be in a position where you're guaranteeing yourself an easier road through your own division early on with the Vikings, even if there are question marks for
Cousins.
That's
the most attractive spot for the next, let's say, 3 to 5 years. Right, because you can't predict.
What happens after
but
that?
But if he goes on beyond that, who knows? He's probably thinking he wants, you know, 20-year coaching career. And who
and
knows? You know.
Probably matters how he feels about Tua.
Yeah. That's true. Is he?
Although, you know, they can get past that. They have, you know, he's still on a rookie scale, rookie deal. So it's not like they're handcuffed to him necessarily. But go ahead, Bill.
True. Is he? You're a Miami native, if I'm not mistaken. How
or
much?
Lauderdale, if you want to get technical.
Okay, but the greater Miami area. How much would it take for you to move to Minneapolis to do your the same job, but do it for the Timberwolves and do it, you know, from Minneapolis for the next 5 years?
It would probably be double. Like, I would say double would get me to get there, knowing that it would go a little farther as well. Like, I mean, life's what you make of it. Like, it's a little colder up there, but, you know, I believe in indoor heating is just fine. So and I think, you know, for Jim Harbaugh, like, I think it would have to be a significantly higher payday. You're right, for him to be in Minnesota versus Miami.
He's also been in the Midwest for years.
True.
It's a little different than supplanting someone who's gotten used to and was born in Miami. Also, Izzy has a lot of onesies that he wears to festivals, so he's got enough warm weather clothes to make it work anywhere.
Definitely.
Right, Izzy? Yeah.
You've never been through like a Target wearing a Cookie Monster onesie. You haven't really lived.
Yeah. Yesterday I was wearing a reindeer onesie just because it was cold and I wanted to be comfortable lounging around the house, so I put my old reindeer onesie on to watch some television, because that's what you do
that's
in the Midwest when it's cold. Yeah.
All right, what do we got next, Charlie?
All right, guys, we got one more headline, and our question for you is, what's your reaction to the speculated name Washington Commanders?
You know, so I guess, you know, it's come out or leaked or whatever. Joe Theismann accidentally leaked it and then denied that was the name.
Well, no, that's my favorite part. Really quick, that's my favorite part is that they have this big launch date of 2-2, and we've been waiting so long for this. And then Joe Theismann just casually on a podcast without even seeming to realize is like, well, yeah, I mean, I think everyone's really going to like the Washington Commanders name. Like, here's why. Here's all the ties to this. And then the host appears to be like, oh, so you're going with Commanders then. That's what you... And then without, again, realizing that the guy's like, wait, are you breaking news? He's like, yeah, I mean, I think people are going to... And it's like, what? What just happened? Like, that to me, the number of people freaking out that have been working on the rollout of the name and the big video and everything... This leaks to them, and they're like throwing things across the office. Like,
especially somebody who recognizes the importance of a name.
Yes,
he changed how he pronounced his name so that he can win an award.
It's true.
And now you're changing the name of an entire franchise, and you're just casually leaking it. Come on, 2-2-2-2. Everybody knows that was the date. That's the launch date. It's the easiest date to remember. Come on.
That's why I feel like the Tom Brady thing, I'm not surprised it got leaked out. Like, there's just so much that goes into this stuff. And there's so many people who just, not even on purpose, just by being an accidental idiot, just leak something out into the world.
Well, then you start wondering if he's purposely being an accidental idiot there, right? Because it's just like, like I said, you'll find out on Wednesday. So now we're all supposed to be sitting and calling him an idiot, and it's going to be, you know, the Red Hogs.
I don't think that's the case at all. I think when this rollout happens, we will see Joe Theismann prominently featured wearing a Washington Commanders jacket, and he just forgot when they filmed it that they told him to not say anything until after February 2nd.
Can we talk about the Red Hogs as an option? Because I just read that for the first time, and I'm absolutely in favor of a team being called casually the Hogs, or you can kind of say, wow, that's a big hog. And then
I actually think the Red Hogs is the best name, but for many reasons, I think anything that allows you to continue with the former name, even in part, is problematic. I think you need to wipe the slate clean. Yeah, like I think Red Wolves, Red Hogs, any of that, you're going to wear your old stuff. You're going to put tape over it. You're going to try to be clever with it. There, you know, anything that could possibly be related to Native American culture, I thought would be an issue. So I don't love the Commanders. Right. I guess the Commanders are supposed to be a loose tie to generals and all the different military, and then Commander in Chief, which is the president, which is out of D.C. Like there's ties to it. I think it's kind of boring. I think there's a million other things that I would prefer, but at least there is no part of it that feels to me like those who are, you know, defending the old name and the old logo and everything can be
just make it about football,
and sticky with it.
Be the ballers with a Z.
Oh God! That's such a Miami thing to say.
Here's the problem with this for me. Like, if you want to name yourself the Commanders, that's fine. Whatever. How are you going to call yourself the Commanders if you can't command the NFC East? Like, you got to be good to be
confident enough. Like calling yourself the First Placers.
Right.
Yeah. It's like calling yourselves the Washington Division champs. Like, you won a playoff game in the past 20 years. Like, no, you have to earn that title. To me, I feel like it is a, you know, if you have raw sewage leaking out of your stadium into luxury suites multiple times in a season, if your field is like the, you know, known for munching ACLs around the NFL for 20 years now. Like,
or collapsing on quarterbacks.
Collapsing quarter. If your owner is like a colossal disaster, if you have, you know, it's just scandal after scandal from your mess of an organization, like, you have to work your way up to Commanders.
What do they have command of right now, other than the worst reputation in the NFL? Like, that is the only thing they have command of right now. Everything else seems very much out of their control. Also, I just, for whatever reason, when you said Commanders, Bill, like a slight little accent to it, it made me think of like people saying they were going Commandos. And it just made me worry about a bunch of Washington fans going underwearless at games and saying that they're the Commandos.
That would be a problem for sure.
What if they go Commando if they're the Hogs?
No. Yeah, that's the problem. Also a problem for the Red Hawks as well. I will say, though,
big concerns.
Like leaving this specific team aside and leaving the reasons why they have to change their name, I do think changing team names is fun. And I feel like we don't do it enough in sports. I feel like there should maybe be like a once a decade thing where there's a random selection from all sports and whoever team gets picked has to change their name.
Are you out of your mind? Listen, there's some real trash names that we've just gotten so used to that we don't really notice how bad they are. But even those, there's so much history and nostalgia that unless there's a good reason to change, like, I don't know, it's always been racist, then I think you keep the name and you keep the history and the... Bill just wants to sell more merch.
Pretty sure there's a bunch of Miami football fans that believe that the Dolphins is a soft logo and they want to move on to something tougher, and that's the reason why they haven't won in so long. I believe that's this reminds me of WNBA. I think the first year, or I don't know, I think it was their first run through the league when Miami had a team. It was the Miami Soul, but they were still coming up with names and they were trying to play it off of, you know, the Miami Heat. And I want to say it was Greg Cody. It was somebody from a Miami Herald columnist who suggested the Miami Humidity as the WNBA team name. And I thought that was absolutely brilliant. You got the Heat and the Humidity. And if I was a Miami Heat, I'd change my name to Humidity for a year. Oh, the logos you could create.
I like the Washington football team. You know, if it ends up not being that, which I don't think it's going to be, like, it felt dignified, it felt different, it felt sort of vaguely European, which I feel like is a nice motif to have for that team. It felt like an actual transition.
Wow. A little classier. It felt a little classier.
Bill coming with the hottest of takes. First, he wants teams to change their names, and second, he wants the NFL to feel European. Are you an American, Bill? You want the NFL to be, you want it to be like soccer, football?
Says the biggest Ted Lasso fan in the world.
Sounds like a soccer team. This is a football team. Give them a football name, just not the Commanders, because that sucks.
I kind of like the Wolves, but get rid of the red. The Washington Wolves got a lot of potential to it, but it doesn't really tie in very well.
Not the Washington Wolfhogs, though.
Ooh, ooh, I like that. No. Make a new animal. Create a hybrid. The wolf hogs, which part is, I think it would have a wolf head and front legs and a hog's butt and back.
Nice little pigtail in the back.
Yeah, oh my God, I love it. The wolf hogs. Washington wolf hogs? Bill, that's genius. That's the best take you've had all day.
That's the branding.
All right, well, that ends that topic then.
All right, guys. It's time for a game of whodunit.
Oh.
We'll give you a quote. You guys have a minute to come together and tell us who done it. First quote, Jimmy Garoppolo is going to be one of my best friends for my whole entire life. And your choices are Trey Lance, Kyle Shanahan, Tom Brady, or Jeff Garcia.
I was absolutely sure that Steve Nash was going to be one of the options there.
Well, we couldn't choose Jeff Garcia because presumably this was said on social and all of his accounts have been deleted or made private.
So emotional. He
continues to hide from Mina. So emotional. I think this is Kyle Shanahan, but it could be Trey Lance.
Ooh.
I think it's Kyle Shanahan.
Kyle Shanahan did say that he wasn't sure if Jimmy Garoppolo was going to be alive 3 days after the draft.
That is true.
Best friend for his whole life. So I would actually rule Kyle Shanahan out here.
I think it's Shanahan.
I had so many things to say about Jeff Garcia that I just held in over the weekend. And so I'm just not going to want to talk about him. Hopefully he's not on the show. I'm going to go with Trey Lance because I don't think Tom Brady said anything other than talking about his retirement.
Obviously, right, he's well, going to be one of my best friends for my whole entire life.
Wow.
So super excited, obviously, to get to spend a couple weeks with them now in these next few weeks.
Yeah, best friends the way Brett Favre and Aaron Rodgers were best friends, right?
This makes sense to me.
That seems silly sad for Jimmy G. Like, you know, I've been to a Super Bowl, I got really close to another one, and now it's just like automatic. I'm out the door.
Yeah.
And it's just like, you're going to improve from me and probably get there. It's like, it's Alex Smith, right? It's Alex Smith like.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's unfortunate.
But you know, I actually have to say, we didn't spend enough time talking about how impressive this season from the Niners was in terms of balancing that dynamic, because there was so much conversation before the season started. And not only did Jimmy G play well enough to hang on to the job and get them as far as he did, whether you think it was Jimmy G or the team, he was still a part of getting there, right? He didn't cause them to lose enough games to not have them be in the championship game, but also that he managed to not take shots at Trey Lance. They managed to coexist. He was in, you know, involved in some of the games in a way that didn't feel intrusive. Like, I think it was handled really well, considering how dramatic it could have been.
I'm glad Jimmy G seems like the guy who's appreciative that he recognizes he's kind of living a charmed life. Like, yes, he could complain and this and this and that, but he doesn't. And yeah, I think it's interesting though, because I'm curious, Bill, like, running that system and that complicated of an offense, does he get enough credit simply for running it? Because I don't think a lot of guys could just step in there and do that.
I also want to point out, by the way, Sarah is talking about Jimmy Garoppolo and Trey Lance in this season like they're Craigslist roommates. Like, oh, you know, he didn't come in my room and go through my underwear drawer. But you know, like, he was nice. He cleaned up after himself in the kitchen. That makes sense to me. I have been in that relationship. Yeah. I feel like that makes sense. I feel like Jimmy Garoppolo does deserve credit because, like, he's not asked to do a ton of that offense. Maybe he would be if he was a better quarterback, but that's always going to be a run first attack. And he's always going to be a guy who is, you know, having to hit shots off play action. He's always going to have to be a guy who is, you know, the throws he has to make are usually going to be more difficult than they would be for the kind of quarterback who throws a lot of underneath stuff, like a Tua, for example, where they're trying to really keep things simple in terms of the reads on that offense and getting the ball quickly because his offensive line is total trash. Now, Jimmy Garoppolo maybe got too much credit at some points, like maybe after the divisional round, but like there's a middle ground that makes sense. Jimmy Garoppolo is a fine quarterback, maybe not a great quarterback, not a terrible quarterback, but somewhere in the middle. What I would say about this, though, is that I feel like we all need to have at least one really hot friend in our lives at all times, because, you know, it's not about dating, it's not about hooking up with someone, but it is about having someone who is really hot, because they can get you in places. Like, if you want to get into that bar that's really crowded, you want to cut the line at that club, you want to sneak something out of a grocery store, like,
go backstage at a concert.
Go backstage is the perfect one, Sarah. Like, I can't pull that off, but maybe my hot friend can, and maybe they can get me in. So I feel like having Jimmy Garoppolo as a friend into the future is only going to benefit Trey Lance for that reason specifically.
That's true. Although, in this case,
I was trying to figure out if you meant that Jimmy G's good looks got him the starting quarterback job, but it brought it back to the quote. I got it now.
No. It makes sense, except for the fact that most of us are not an NFL quarterback. And when Lance is a starting NFL quarterback, he probably won't need a hot friend to get in anywhere. That is sort of like the equivalency of hot is successful male professional athlete.
But even Jimmy Garoppolo, though, like, relative to other NFL quarterbacks, I feel like Jimmy Garoppolo's on another level to me when it comes to attractiveness.
Obviously, aesthetically, he is. My point is that the power afforded to starting NFL quarterbacks means that regardless of their aesthetic beauty, they will be allowed backstage and into the concert and anywhere they want to go.
Go ahead, Alabaster has some thoughts on this.
Sorry, obviously I'm blinded by Jimmy Garoppolo's beauty, but yes. I have to interject because we have made a wolf hog.
Oh my god, I love him.
He is cute.
I think he should be one color though, but
yeah,
I love him.
No, multiple colors. More colors.
Is he wearing a sweater? It's like that dog question about whether yes. the dog was wearing
that's
a sweater.
Right. Like,
would it be the top half or the front half?
Right.
Like why Donald Duck doesn't wear a bottom, but when he comes out of the shower, he puts on a towel. Yeah. It doesn't make any sense. Yeah.
Very confusing. Yeah.
Absolutely.
I think it's just context clues, but that's a little bit too serious of an answer. That's just letting us know he was in the shower. Anyway, I love the wolf hog. It's adorable.
Yes.
To the podcast listeners, the back of the pig is pink with a little curly tail and tiny little hooves. Mm-hmm. And the front is a wolf who's grayish blue and has a big snout and has longer legs. And I think it's beautiful for a first draft. But again, I would like it all to be more of a one color situation.
Also, Sarah's wearing a green hoodie and Bill is wearing pink and black checkers. And I'm wearing blue for the podcast. Yes. That is a veteran podcaster right there. I just look down at her for those who think and don't really can't see anything. What else do we got, Charlie?
All right, guys, we got another quote here. Shout out to my nephew, Luke, the new O-line coach for the Packers. So great to see you moving up with an expansion team. And your choices are Rex Grossman, Brian Urlacher, Dick Butkus, or Cody Parkey.
I know this one.
Sarah.
You seem pretty excited about this
Dick Butkus, the king of Twitter. There have been accusations that someone else is writing his tweets for him. I don't care. He's quoting Fletch. He's taking shots at the Packers. He's crushing the Twitter game, and this was just the latest. Giving a nice shout out to his family while still making sure to undercut the Packers.
Izzy, what do you feel about this? I like he's good. Like no one doubts that he's good at Twitter, but this is such an obvious fake. Like it's so clearly someone else doing this.
Why?
That I feel like it's because I don't think
can he just be an ordinary old guy?
Why can't he be funny? He was the star of My Two Dads. If you do not remember,
he
clearly has comedic chops.
How old is Dick Butkus? He's in his either 80s,
90s, 79.
No, 90s. Get out of here. 79. You don't know any funny 79-year-olds?
I know plenty of funny 79-year-olds, but you think this dude is going on Twitter and nailing the tone as a 79-year-old? That is the problem to me. If it was like,
I mean, 79-year-olds don't offer a shout out. You're right. Shout out to my nephew Luke. Probably not a 79. That just doesn't spill out of the mouth of a 79-year-old.
We need to find the most recent interview with Dick Butkus and see if it's at all plausible that he would type this way. Because if he's not talking at all this way, you're right. But that's disappointing to me because I want it to be actually my two dads, Dick Butkus, who is saying this. I want those comedic chops to have been sustained and I want him to still be hip and cool and crushing skulls.
My problem is that I feel like this is very close to becoming a crypto scam. Like I feel like within 2 weeks we're gonna see Dick Butkus being like, oh see there
oh
we
my
go
God.
Given the market turmoil given the market turmoil to podcast listeners, Dick Butkus says I am giving serious thought to launching my own cryptic currency. This is going to be an NFT scam within 2 weeks, and we're
you know
all
what?
Going to feel
this
dumb
feels
for
like
Dick Butkus.
This,
I'm not going to feel dumb because I'm not going to know anything about it.
I was just watching Full Frontal, and there was a whole with Samantha Bee, and there was to clarify that's a show. It's not another show called Full Frontal might be. And she was doing a bit on how there's like always cute cat videos and things, and then once you like or follow, they insert information from like propagandist political sites into your feed, and you don't know why they've suddenly started showing up. It's the same way that when people like offer up their information to things on Facebook to take a quiz, you don't realize that they're then using all that information you filled in to tell you which Sex and the City character you are for other things. But this is what the Dick Butkus Twitter is. We're all going to follow and like, and then slowly over time, he's going to start, posting, misinformation or cryptocurrency links or other things. He's just luring us in with his good Green Bay takes.
Charlie, how you he's doing just over there? You got through the whole Dick Butkus thing, and the worst Sarah offered was Full Frontal. Feeling good about that?
That's true.
I'm so proud of you guys.
By the way, I should mention, though, that my fantasy football name in one of the leagues that I've been in for the last, you know, 8 or 9 years is the Dick Butkus, because a prominent Chicago politician, when introducing Dick Butkus, confused him with Mike Ditka and introduced him as Dick Butka. And now I always think about that when I think of Dick Butkus.
Okay. The good thing is Mike Dick is not problematic at all, so we don't have to worry about Dick Butkus being
We're out of time. Wow, we're out of time to talk about game. Mike Ditka, who's actually behind me right here, but I conspicuously usually covered by my head, and that's on purpose.
All right, guys, we got a couple here. We're going to do one of the chances, the game where we'll show you a clip, and then you'll tell us the chances. First one. What are the chances Kevin Porter Jr. is to blame for Steph's 21-point fourth quarter?
Porter Jr. called somewhere on my phone. Sorry, I'll tell it after.
The defender on the game winner.
Look at Kevin Porter Jr. Look at Steph.
He does not like that call. Look, he's still staring at him. Steph is not even going to acknowledge him. I think that.
I have a picture on my phone I was going to say of Mike Ditka giving Mike Lupica the finger in a green room, and that's a picture I will never delete.
That checks out.
That cracks me. It looks like he just found out that Steph Curry was the dude who stole his bike when he was 6 years old. And it's like, just came to him at that moment, you know? It's like, I love this, frankly. It's just, you know, the heart of competition right there. He didn't even say anything. He just reminded me of Colin Sexton, I think, did that one time in college when somebody at the free throw line was talking crap to him, and he just fully turned to him and just stared at him for the entirety of that free throw. And, you know, did that get Steph Curry out of his slump with a 21-point fourth quarter? Maybe, maybe not. But the entire basketball world should be applauding Porter Jr. for doing that, because everybody wants to see a hot Steph Curry and not a cold Steph Curry.
So your odds are maybe, maybe not. That's your percentage?
My odds are, let's see, 49.9, because I don't think it did it. But you know what? Let's debate about it.
All right.
You're close. You're very close here. So when I was younger, my first job as I think a 13-year-old, and this is going to show you how old I am, I would take calls. I worked in a call center, and I would send the messages that people said to me to people's pagers when people had text pagers back in the day. And so it was a really boring job. And so I would get tired. I would want to, like, I played games with myself just to make it more interesting. Like, I would talk in a really masculine voice or a really feminine voice. I would ask people to spell as many words as possible in their messages till they got mad at me, and guess how many words it would take for that to happen. My point is, in a dead-end job, you're going to have to start coming up with stuff to entertain yourself. Kevin Porter Jr. plays for the Houston Rockets, who are in last place in the Western Conference. Kevin Porter Jr. played for a losing team his 1 year at school, I think at UCLA. They had a sub-500 record. He played for the Cavs his first year. They were 20 games under 500. He played for the Rockets last year. They were a mess. He plays for the Rockets this year. He's a mess. Like, he's not the problem, but he is stuck in a situation where his NBA life is basically meaningless from game to game. So I think he just did this to entertain himself, because there's not much else to do on a game-to-game basis if you're Kevin Porter Jr. besides entertain yourself with the people who are coming into your life from afar.
What's your odds?
I was going to correct you on that, but then I started questioning my own knowledge. I think he went to USC, not UCLA.
It might be USC, excuse me. But I still think it was a losing record either way. I would say 37%, because I feel like Steph Curry might not have noticed and just been good because he's one of the best players on the planet.
Yeah. First of all, it reminded me more of Lance Stevenson than anyone else. I did think he might blow in his ear. It felt very reminiscent. I love that Steve Kerr said, I don't know if he was doing it on purpose, but I highly encourage it. That's Steve knowing exactly how Steph gets motivated. I'm going to go 75%. Because we know that Steph at any moment can get hot. We know that Steph at any moment can go off. So clearly there just needed to be a little switch flipped. And that's what it was. It was KPJ staring him down, potentially doing the Lance Stevenson. And Steph was like, you know what? I've had enough of that. I'm going to show this kid. And again, if I'm with Steve Kerr, I would want everybody to do that every game and just watch what happens.
It's already exhausting enough to have to defend Steph Curry, but to have to just put in all that extra effort, it's like, it's a bit much. Like, once you think you've got him defended because there's 2 seconds left in the shot clock, oh no, I accidentally looked the other way. He's all the way on the other side of the court for a wide open three. So I really wouldn't recommend this. I would try to sort of, you know, keep centered and try not to expend any extra energy. What else we have?
Oh, sorry. All right, guys. My mic wasn't on. Sorry. Got cut up for a second. One more topic.
Was that a Wolfhawk?
We do have some more Wolfhawk content. The record this scratched. One, we're going to the Mad Dog. Oh, we got a clip for you here, too. What are the chances Mad Dog has legit beef with Rams fans?
Mm-hmm. Is that 70,000 football fans in the Southern California market who want to put a Ram jersey on and go to a ball game? Really? On a beautiful Sunday afternoon in a beautiful stadium? Really? And then the fans they do bring into the joint. You know, Leonard, but you think DiCaprio's a football fan? At least Mark Wahlberg with his Patriot love. At least he's from New England. You know, at least he left the Super Bowl, which is one of the biggest disgraces in the history of sports, at 28-3. We've screamed about that forever. Ooh. But, I mean, think about it. I mean, I've never seen Leonard DiCaprio at a sporting event all my life. And now he's at the Ram game yesterday sitting in a suite. No less. All right, come on. And Leonard DiCaprio at a football game.
Leonard?
Leonard DiCaprio.
He's on the Leonard DiCaprio. Oh
my God, I can't.
Good actor. Can't. Leonard. Another guy. He wouldn't know Norm Van Brocklin. Oh my God, what a disgrace. We take a timeout, we continue. Quarter after the hour, we're on the
I legit thought you were replaying just the part where he said Leonard DiCaprio, but no, he just said it four times in a row. I thought you were replaying the part where he said it once, but he said it over and over.
That's Leonardo. That's the part that's really
can you go Leonard for Leonardo?
No.
That's the thing. Like, I believe.
Does
I
he
believe
look like a Leonard
heart.
To you?
That's exactly my point. I believe in my heart that if he was born Leonard DiCaprio, he would have been a steam fitter in Jersey. He'd still be a Giants fan, but he would have had season tickets. He would have lost them when they built the new stadium. He falls asleep during the third quarter of every Giants game on his couch, and he still believes in Daniel Jones. He's not an actor. He's not famous. He's not hooking up with exclusively young people for some reason. He is a totally different human being.
I've never grew up listening to Mad Dog. Was not a Northeast radio guy. But he has, over the last couple of years, affected my life probably more than like 99% of the radio show hosts. I will forever call a defibrillator a filibation unit because that's what he called it on the air one time. Absolutely certain that that's what it was. And so, Leonard DiCaprio, not even close to his high on his list of mispronunciations. Yeah. A filibation unit.
Yes. I always mostly go to the call bay. Call somebody! Call anybody! When he's yelling about
and a lot of those rants kind of lose their luster when you realize that, especially over the last couple of years, he's been doing it from like his couch with a glass of white wine on the coffee table and his puppy next to him not making a sound. Like, shouldn't really be angry about that much in general, but you're not really angry when
Mad
you just
Dog,
got happy
man.
Hour on your couch.
His name's Mad Dog. Yeah. What's he supposed to do? Have a nice, easy, you know, relatable...
Have an angrier dog.
...rational perhaps. Conversation? I'm going to go 10%. I don't think he gives a flying you-know-what. He just needed some content. If he gave even more than 10% of AF, he would at least look up Leonardo's full name and then say it all.
I'm going 100% because if you go back to how we opened the show with Tom Brady and that dedication that you need to be this art, that's absolutely, he believes everything that comes out of his mouth because otherwise it would just sound phony. You can't be a fake Mad Dog. Come on.
I agree. I'm going 100% as well. This feels very, like, as a born and raised New Yorker, this feels very New York to me. This feeling of like, nobody else can be a true fan besides New Yorkers. That's exactly something my dad
said. Yeah, that checks out.
Absolutely.
That checks out. But your belief in the fidelity and authenticity of sports radio and that everyone believes what they're yelling is deeply worrisome to me.
That right there, the roundest game of what are the chances in the history of what are the chances.
Yes.
That's true.
It's a thick history. Wow, I got some pit sweat going on here. We should probably continue.
I'm just so happy you didn't make me write a 9 there, Izzy.
You're happy that Izzy what?
Didn't make me write a 9 because they're not good. Anyway, we are pretty much done with this show, but I have one last question for you guys. Do you guys like the gray Wolfhog?
I love him.
Ooh, yeah, he is cute.
I love him.
Or the pink Wolfhog.
Ooh. Gray.
It's a little Pepto-Bismally.
Yeah.
The two Pepto-Bismal. The two genders.
As we continue workshopping this, can we give it more even legs? I know that's tough, but I'm worried about the back problems, the spine of this wolf.
It's hanging there.
When it lands, it's going to feel, I'm worried about the kinetic chain on this wolf hog. I think we need longer legs.
I want longer front legs, to be honest with you. I think that's part of the charm, I feel like. It's just
we gotta go shorter wolf legs. Back, if you go long legs, you just don't know what animal it is.
Shorter wolf legs and slightly longer hog legs, but also maybe it walks on its hind legs. So maybe its wolf legs are more like arms.
Yes.
That's a hog wolf, though. That's totally different.
No. You haven't changed the body parts. It's just the verticality of its posture when it moves.
You put an extra spring in the tail, have it bounce off the tail.
Ooh,
at all
like
times.
Tigger almost.
Yes.
I mean, to be fair, that's more of a pig than it is a hog. I was thinking more of a boar situation, but I don't want to start over because we're already somewhere pretty magical with this. And I don't want to just get rid of it altogether. I just think we need to stretch out those back legs a little bit. Maybe make it walk vertically like werewolf style. Maybe it is a werewolf hog. Throw a flannel on
now
it.
You got me thinking if it is the Commanders, how many people are going to come in as the Commandos, and it's just
that wolf hog was definitely Commando.
Yeah.
You know Joe Theismann's going to come out and say, oh yeah, the Washington Werewolves, we're doing great, baby. Everyone's like, oh, I don't know what you're talking about.
Everyone's going to love the wolf hogs.
Werewolves?
People are really going to come around to the werewolf hogs.
Gonna love them a lot more than the Commandos, that's for sure. The Washington Sewage Hogs. Hey, we did it.
Yay.
All right, that's the confetti.
We did a lot of
follow us at Debatable.
Guys, we really accomplished a lot today.
Listening on the podcast.
Great graphics. Well done.